Chapter 2. The lines are so closely drawn that when you consider the tremendous amount of time and labor expended in keeping up this blockade, you must admire the Spaniards for doing it so well, but you would admire them more if, instead of stopping content with, that they went further and invaded the field. The forts are an excellent precaution. They prevent sympathizers from joining the insurgents, and from sending them food, arms, medicine or messages. But the next step, after blockading the cities, would appear to be, to follow the insurgents into the field, and give them battle. This the Spaniards do not seem to consider important, nor wish to do. Flying columns of regular troops and guerrillas are sent out daily, but they always return each evening within the circle of forts. If they meet a band of insurgents, they give battle readily enough, but they never pursue the enemy, and, instead of camping on the ground, and following him up the next morning, they retreat as soon as the battle is over, to the town where they are stationed. When occasionally objection is made to this by a superior officer, they give us an explanation, that they were afraid of being led into an ambush, and that as an officer's first consideration must be for his men, they decided that it was wiser not to follow the enemy into what might prove a death trap. Or the officers say they could not abandon their wounded while they pursued the rebels. Sometimes a force of 1,000 men will return with 3 men wounded, and will offer their condition as an excuse for having failed to follow the enemy. About 5 years ago, troops of United States cavalry were sent into the chaparral on the border of Mexico and Texas, to drive the Garcia revolutionists back into their own country. One troop, G3rd Cavalry, was ordered out for 7 days' service, but when I joined the troop later as a correspondent, it had been in the field for 3 months, sleeping the entire time under canvas, and carrying all its impedimenta with it on pack mules. It had seldom, if ever, been near a town, and the men wore the same clothes, or what was left of them, with which they had started for a week's campaign. Had the Spaniards followed such a plan of attack as that when the revolution began, instead of building mud forts and devastating the country, they might not only have suppressed the revolution, but the country would have been of some value when the war ended. As it is today, it will take 10 years or more to bring it back to a condition of productiveness. The wholesale devastation of the ISL, and was an idea of General Weyler's. If the captain of a vessel, in order to put down a mutiny on board, scuttled the ship and sent everybody to the bottom, his plan of action would be as successful as General Weyler's has proved to be. After he had obtained complete control of the cities, he decided to lay waste the country and starve the revolutionists into submission. So he ordered all pacificos, as the non-belligerents are called, into the towns, and burned their houses, and issued orders to have all fields where potatoes or corn were planted dug up and these food products destroyed. These pacificos are now gathered inside of a dead line, drawn 150 yards around the towns, or wherever there is a fort. Some of them have settled around the forts that guard a bridge, others around the forts that guard a sugar plantation. Wherever there are forts, there are pacificos. In a word, the situation in Cuba is something like this. The Spaniards hold the towns, from which their troops daily make predatory raids, invariably returning in time for dinner at night. Around each town is a circle of pacificos doing no work, and for the most part starving and diseased, and outside, in the plains and mountains, are the insurgents. No one knows just where any one band of them is today, or where it may be tomorrow. Sometimes they come up to the very walls of the fort, lasso a bunch of cattle and ride off again, and the next morning their presence may be detected 10 miles away, where they are setting fire to a cane field or a sugar plantation. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.